Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you have a message for us today, and that message is not just to be thought about, but is to be life-changing. And we pray for the help of your Holy Spirit to bring light and to really lead us in the way that you would have us go. Thank you, Jesus, that your word is always important, always relevant, and always powerful. And that we welcome your word to us this morning. We open our hearts, not just to hear somebody preach, but to hear what you're saying. And let that word, that transforming power, change us into more and more people who reflect Jesus and do his will in the earth. And this we pray with faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let it be. Praise God. Well, last week we had a very powerful word from God about the importance of us seeing ourselves as God sees us. We saw how the enemy can have a picture of us. Other people can have a picture of us. But we need to see ourselves as God sees us. And God spoke to me about having this picture frame. And to really fill it, it was empty. Nothing was in it. And God said, what do you see? And I said, well, what do you want me to see, Jesus? And we are to fill our lives personally, and I have a lovely visual aid this morning. With how God sees us. Now, I know you're struggling with thinking about what a fantastic looking pastor you've got. But now I'm going to turn it around and go, what a fantastic looking congregation. We saw last week how God wants us to frame our lives with his picture and to fill our hearts and vision with who he says we are. And anything that undermines his picture of us, we are to get it out of focus and bring his picture of acceptance, of righteousness, of love, of who we are in Christ right into focus. But this morning, we are going to look at how God sees us. Who are we as God's people? Who are we as Kingdom Faith Church? Because many people have a picture, but it may not be accurate. It may not be what God wants to reveal or show. And we need to actually allow God to paint that picture, rather than for us to put what we think into that frame. Just as we allow him to paint the picture of truth about who we are, so we need to see his vision or his picture of his body on earth. The body of Christ. Now this vision, I have to say with all of my heart, and I need God's grace to preach this, is the greatest vision of any society, body, organization, people on earth. Because in this frame of who God's church are is the hope of the whole world. And so God grant me the grace to preach this morning on his church and his vision, and grant you the grace to change your picture, to throw out what doesn't fit, and to allow God to paint with extravagant colors, with passion and zeal and purpose what he has for his people. Amen. The glorious church of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe we need to understand what the local church is about. And the local church is God's plan for every believer. We are the body of Christ. Every one of us is a member of the body of Christ, which means that God has set you either, can I use the natural example, as an ear, or as a knee, or as a toe, in his body. The body didn't design itself. It already has a designer, who is God himself. And every member is precious and valuable to God. But every member is seen within the context of the body. So you as an individual are not seen solely by God. God, when he looks on the earth, he sees you in context of the body. For example, I don't wake up in the morning and just say, oh, look at my finger. And that's all I see all day. I see a finger. I am a finger. I think so I am. I see that I am a complete person. And God sees both the individual set in right place in reference to his body. As Pastor Andrea was praying, she prayed that we are God's people, his own special people. God has a people, not just a person. So he doesn't just have a body part. He actually has a body. Now, in reality, God raises up local churches, which are part of his universal church. But local church is God's plan for every believer. Why? Because every believer is to be set in right relationship with those God has ordained you to be amongst. And so, to be a body hopper doesn't make sense to Scripture. It's not biblical thinking to hop from one church to another, as it's not going to help me for my foot to end up on the top of my head tomorrow morning. And there is this glorious revelation of joy of being a part of the local church, where you belong, where God has called you, and where you can fulfill both your personal destiny and the destiny that Jesus has for his local church and his church universally. So the local church is God's plan for every believer. The local church is God's plan for the world. The scripture says, I have made you a light that you might be my salvation to the ends of the earth. So God says of the church, can I just say this to shock you? We are the most important organization on earth. We're far more important than Bill Gates. Microsoft has nothing on the body of Christ. Microsoft can create finances. But the body of Christ has a message that changes eternal destinies. And so it's far above everything in God's mind, apart from, of course, Jesus, who is the head of the body. So the local church is God's plan for the world. And also the local church belongs to Jesus and is what Jesus is building today. Jesus says, I will build my church. So it's his church. He says, I will build my church. And so Jesus is the owner and the creator and the enabler of the body, but he is building his church today. So if we want to be part of what God is doing and put this in the frame of our lives as Kingdom Faith Southwest, it's his plan for me to be a member of his church. It's his plan for the world to be changed through us. It's his plan that this belongs to Jesus and that this is what he is building today. Therefore, it is of primary importance. And if it's important to God, it must be, if I love him and he died for me, it must be important for me. Because I love what he loves and I want to build what he's building. Because on that last day, if I've built something else, everything will be burned up. Bill Gates, without Jesus, has built an empire which will be nothing. Nothing. I said nothing. Nothing on that day. In fact, he will stand purely based on what he has believed concerning Jesus and if he has done God's will for his life, as we all will. Does God want to raise businesses? Yes, he does, but not above the church. Businesses that build the church and win the world to Jesus Christ. That is his vision. You have to forgive me if I'm passionate about the church, but I trust some of this passion will hit your spirit today and that you won't leave thinking it wasn't for you, but with this understanding that actually this is what I was born for. To be part of the church of Jesus Christ and to see his church win the world and live for eternal purposes. So every local church, can I put this in the next slide, please? Every local church initiated by God, can I emphasize initiated? Started by God. Because if you've been around as long as I have, or even longer than me, you will know some have not been started by God. Okay, but every local church that has been initiated by God has been given a vision by God. This vision has been given for the local church to run with. Okay, so that is, God doesn't just want a church, he wants to give the church vision so that we can do what he has called us to do. And every local church has a different expression of the mandate of Jesus Christ for his body. So there is a unique expression of every local church, but the same word and outworking of his purpose. What is vision? Vision is so vital to you and me. It's so vital to us as Kingdom Faith Southwest. It is the ability to see. Vision essentially is seeing something, and sometimes seeing something that somebody else doesn't see. Okay, vision is the ability to see a clear picture of what God has said. So when God communicates to his church, to his people, he wants to create a clear picture. We're back onto this. Vision is seeing what God wants us to see. Next one, please. It's a picture of what the future will be. And the next slide, a picture of what the end result of God's promise is. So often God gives a picture that doesn't look much like happening at the moment. But it is a picture of a future vision. So God doesn't just want us to live with what we can see, but he wants us to live by faith. He wants to communicate a vision that goes well beyond your ability to think or imagine. Far more than you could ask or imagine. And so God always paints a picture of the local church that we are not yet seeing. Is that okay? So if you see a picture today that you say, well, I can't really see everything that's been put before us, that's because God is wanting to see a greater picture than anything we're running with currently. Like he does with your life, he wants to lead you with vision. He wants to paint a greater picture of his purpose than what you're currently living in, so that you're always reaching on for greater things. Okay, so that is vision. The ability to see what the future will be and the result of God's promise. But to be it, we have to see it. To be something, you have to see something. Last week, to be all that Jesus has intended for your life, you have to first see that the old you has passed away and all things have become new. First you see it, then you are able to believe it, and then you're able to run with it. So to be anything, we must first see it. What does God want us to see? Now, look in your Bibles to Proverbs 29. Verse 18. Where there is no revelation or no vision, the people cast off restraint. Where there's no vision, people actually perish. Okay, so vision is vital to every individual in this room. Because without it, you will lose your vitality for life. Whenever personally a door shuts in your life, maybe a season is over, what is needed at that point is a new vision. And God wants to bring a new vision into your heart. Bring light into your heart so that you can see the way forward. And people, if they're not living with vision, and particularly God's vision, lose focus, lose motivation, and lose purpose. Purpose and vision are linked. So if you don't have vision, you won't live with purpose. So essentially, if we don't have vision for God's church, we actually will lose focus and go and do other things. And live in a lack of vibrancy and motivation for what Jesus is building today. And God wants us to be highly motivated. Say to somebody next to you, God wants you to be highly motivated. People end up doing what the world does when we lose vision for what God is saying. Can I just unpack that a bit? So we run after cars and houses. We run after better lifestyles and leisure. None of those things are bad. But if they are the vision in themselves, you will end up dead on the inside, lifeless, and you will have missed your divine call. Because God's vision is to be set up, like Jesus said, the lamp above all things. So that everybody in the house can see the light of God's purpose. And I believe this morning God wants to lift up the lamp and shine his light on his vision for us as his people. There are times when in life, even as a Christian, even as a faithful believer, serving God faithfully, where the vision can dim, where actually the light of what you used to run with full on is now a little bit less and a little bit lacking. It is my testimony. I wasn't going to share this, but before the summer, it was like vision in my life for what God had called us to do as a church suddenly went dim. And you know, there's only one place where you can get vision. His name's Jesus. And prayer. He's not going to throw it on you when you're walking around Sainsbury's. But it's through a seeking heart, those who seek will find. And over a process of holiday time and just coming back to fullness of strength in my spirit, because leadership is very demanding. Coming back to fullness of strength, and us as a leadership, Pastor Andrew and I have spent a lot of time seeking God and praying together. In fact, this last couple of weeks, we've gone away, shut ourselves away, and prayed and prayed. And God has really given us this message for this morning and for the season we are coming into. But it is my testimony that God is able to bring fresh motivation and fresh vision to anyone if they want it. And if they are willing for God to paint the picture, not paint their own picture and say, this is what I want. But say, God, you're free. I belong to you because you purchased me for God. And now you're free to paint your picture in my heart. And so if you're sitting there saying this, the talk on vision isn't for me. Yes, it is. It's for everybody here. And it's for everybody who's going to listen to this message. Because God wants his vision burning so brightly in your heart for his church, so that you can run with it and be motivated and love the glorious, awesome, amazing, potential-filled church of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, if we don't live for God's vision, we live for other stuff. And a God-honoring vision fulfills his dream. Can I have the next? His dream and ours of a better future and a better life. A God-honoring vision fulfills his dream and ours of a better future and a better life. How about that? I'd like to give myself for that, would you? I'd like to give my life for that, would you? Because this is what God is calling us to do. To live for his vision and make it ours. In Acts 26, let's just turn there. We look at a couple of examples, really, of people getting vision and turning around and doing different stuff. Stay awake, please. Some of you are putting me off. Don't put me off, encourage me. Because this is us. It's not me. It's us. This is our vision. Because it's God's vision together. So pinch yourself or pinch your neighbor or breathe more deeply. I haven't gone on that long and I don't find it's that boring yet. So please do try. And stay wide awake to receive everything God has for you. Acts 26. Now you know the story about Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul. And on a journey to persecute the church, to throw the church in prison, he was a kind of a Christian hater at this point. He was the Bin Laden of the day. And he wanted to kill and persecute believers in Jesus. And in verse 12, it says, on one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, I was on the road, and I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, love those. Just I am Jesus. He didn't say, I'm the God of your fathers. I'm God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm El Shaddai. He is all those things. But the person that Saul and Paul and everybody needs to hear is Jesus. Preach Christ. Preach Jesus. And so Jesus says, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. The Lord replied, now get up, stand on your feet. I love those words. Stop groveling. Even though you can see nothing because I've blinded you naturally for 3 days. Stand up, get up. I've got something to say to you. To attention. And I mean, this must have been such an awesome thing. Because he had a vision to kill what God was building. He had the devil's vision for the church, to tear it down and destroy it. But what does Jesus, who is full of mercy, do? He comes and he reveals this light from heaven and speaks to this man and says, stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you've seen of me and what I will show you. I'll rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them. Not only does Jesus appear to him and say, I am Jesus who you're persecuting, and therefore verify the resurrection. Say that I am alive. So everything Paul believed suddenly got upset. How many of you have ever had that? I tell you, before I got saved, I was really upset how wrong I'd been about Jesus. So Paul's really upset, and suddenly, not only is Jesus becoming his God, but he's also got to go to a people he's never had anything to do with. I mean, all of this is a total annihilation of Saul's flesh. It's a shocking encounter with Jesus. Sometimes I think we limit Jesus to what we want him to be and put him in an ever so nice, pretty picture and say, there, fit into that. And Jesus will never fit into your that. We've got to fit into him. It's the other way around. And so Jesus says, I've appeared to you. So he's got vision for a purpose. And this is to go to the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. To give them a vision of who I am and what I've done. May that be the primary vision of your life and mine and of his church. And from the power of Satan to God. So this is incredible. God is saying, I'm going to send you to turn people from darkness to light. To take people out of the power of Satan. Do you know how urgent the days are? Do you know how important our mission is? Do you know that currently they belong to Satan? But we have the Church of Jesus Christ, the message that will break them out of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of God. That is how important who we are and what Jesus has called us to be is. So that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. A place among. Isn't that interesting in the original vision to Paul, to Saul? Jesus actually includes the church. Have you seen that? It's right there. A place among those who are being saved. So in other words, Saul says, you have a place, and those who find me has a place among the church. Confirming and, of course, agreeing with all other scripture, which is we are a member of the body once we're born again. So, Saul isn't just to be a missionary, he's to be a church builder. Hello? He's not just going to preach the gospel. He understands that those who are saved have a place among God's people. So, you know, those who say, I'm just an evangelist and are on their own, are actually outside the mind of Christ and therefore the will of God. Because Jesus is building his church. Yes, we're advancing his kingdom, but he is building his church. So when we win people to Christ, there is a place among us that they are called to be. And we welcome all those who are new. Thank you, Jesus. And embrace them as those who belong in the glorious body of Jesus Christ. When the disciples, you know, after Jesus had died, I'm not going to read it now, in Mark 16. This is another envisioning time for the disciples. Once Jesus had died, the disciples were downright miserable, can I say? They were sitting by themselves, hidden away, and actually their vision had gone. And even when Mary and the others had come and said, Jesus is alive, they didn't believe. Now, can I just add here? For 3 years, Jesus said, I'm going to come back to life. Yeah. So we would say spiritually thick, would we not? Hadn't yet got it. And you know what Jesus did in Mark 16? You can go there and read it. He appeared to them. He didn't say, oh, I'm so sorry you missed me. And I'm so sorry you're feeling so bad and miserable and lost all hope. He rebuked them. That would offend the flesh. He rebuked them for their unbelief. He said, you didn't believe those who came and said, I'm alive. And then, not only then did he say, now let's spend 3 years building your faith, because you've had a real tough time seeing me die. He rebuked them for their unbelief and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick. Teach them about me and what I have told you. You will lay hands on them and they will recover. You will never be harmed by snakes and scorpions. I am with you always, but I am telling you to go. Now, I don't know if that fits with you, but it fits with him. It's his picture of us. Saul had that picture. The disciples had that picture. Kingdom Faith Church need to have that picture. Is it in the frame? It's not an alternative kind of lifestyle for those who are really fervently following Jesus. It's not for those who say that, oh, well, I'm especially gifted in evangelism. It is for the body of Christ. And his vision must be our vision. And his picture, our picture. Now, I've written this down and I hope it doesn't scare you too much, but it brings me up short, personally. The vision is what God will hold us accountable for in that day. Well, I started a tea shop. I was nice to my neighbors. Yes, but did you run with the vision? Which is to have a tea shop, be nice to your neighbors, but to preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, and bring them into the place amongst those who are being sanctified by faith in me. Amen. Get the big picture, not the little one. Because if we see the big picture, the little one we're involved in, and many of us can say, well, it's just my part. But as long as we're building according to the vision and not just the part, then we will definitely be moving in the right direction. You see, every Sunday we have a team of people who set up. We have a team who give so much in so many ways. In fact, I believe the church should be the whole team. I don't believe that any member is supposed to watch the vision happening in front of their eyes, but to play a part in the vision happening in front of our eyes. And the time, the effort, the prayer, the practices in worship and the things that people sacrifice are actually ultimately what God is saying. Are you building what I'm building? Are you involved with what I'm calling you to be involved in? Because we're to serve His vision. And on the day we stand before God, He'll say, what did you do with my vision? So for as a pastor, I'm accountable before God that I make it clear to whoever will give me time to listen. And in the end, it's down to you, because I don't and will never make you run. Because everyone will stand before God on their own account. But it is my responsibility to communicate the vision and facilitate that vision happening amongst us. But we must be clear-minded in days where there are so many visions. And I'm thoroughly enjoying X Factor. I love watching X Factor. But they market their vision big time. It becomes something that people don't want to miss. I believe church should be something you don't want to miss. I could weep sometimes. Where are they? What other vision is there? We're not a preaching station, you know. It's not just about having a great preach. It isn't. It's about Him. And what He says is important. Some Sundays, it's hard for me when you don't show. I have to tell you this. It's hard for me when you're not part of what God's doing. I celebrate those who are. But when you're so fired up with God's will, and I don't want this to come across wrong, and that, you know, because she's a woman preacher, she cries. I try not to. But there are some things that do make me weep. When He did everything for us, and people can't even show to praise Him. And if they do show, they sit glum, normally at the back. There's nothing about the back today. But Jesus did everything. He did more than what is worth of my little offering of living my life for Him and building what He's building. And I believe God wants to restore a passion and a greatness back into you for the body of Jesus Christ, that you are a part. It's not about me, it's about us. It's about us, guys. Every other weekers, they drive me mad. I may as well go for it. And for those of you here every Sunday, they drive you mad too, don't they? Because you know we're committed to building His thing. But in anything where you want to build strong, you want to build lasting, you want to build something that is going to change the region and bring the glory of God into this community. They can't even be bothered when we've prayed. We've been up at 5. People have been seeking God. I don't get it. That leisure becomes more important than Jesus and the church. You see, if we reduce the church down to number 5 or 6, we will live like that. And that's why the light needs to go up today into the highest place in your thinking and in your heart. He's number one. And what he is wanting to do is my priority. It's what we must do and not the things we could do. The vision actually constrains us into, for example, X Factor. They're in boot camp. Why? Because they're constrained by a vision to be famous. I hope you died to that when you got born again. We're making Jesus famous, not you. And they're in boot camp and they are constrained by voice training, by, you know, all the things that they need to learn to be the best that they can be. Don't you think that's what church is? We're training you. This is boot camp. So you can be the best for Jesus that you can be in your world. It's like sometimes I think the vision is, did you enjoy it or not? Well, I did, and I know, one of those mediocre Sundays. The worship team, you know, they were thrashing it up there, but nobody seemed to make much noise out there. And you're like, why is praise? Does praise come from that microphone? Come on. It doesn't. It comes from the person. Does praise come from the body? Who Jesus has bought with his blood? My lips will praise you. I will lift up my hands in your name. Can I just say that again? I will lift up my hands. It's biblical praise. I will shout for joy. Biblical praise. I will sing with the Spirit. And sing with the understanding. Biblical praise. I'll do it if I feel like it. And I'm one of those that sits at the back that doesn't, so that I can get away with as little as possible and go home and cook lunch and have the afternoon to myself. Jesus is to be glorified in his church. Amen. I do hope this gets to those who aren't here. I really hope it gets to them. And if they're not here for the right reason, praise God. But may the Holy Spirit actually bring his will to pass through this message so that the church will once again begin to have God's priority for their lives. You know, there's many things I could do and even Christian things that I could get involved in. I tell you, I get so confused with the amount of emails for Israel wants that. They want that. The local leaders want that. The national leaders want that. This is what Scotland is saying. And actually in America, they're saying we've got to do that. And in the end, I'm like, I think I'll just stick to the light from heaven that God has given us here in the local church. People get offended because they know I could do it. But I know what I must do. Please don't judge me for what I must do. Because the vision constrains me. And when that pastor doesn't get involved with that. May I will stand before God. You don't have to stand there for me. And I'm giving him my best. And I'm wanting him to keep me focused on what he has. How many of you know? If you're trying to be in the worship team, the sound team, the setup team, the hospitality team, you get a little bit watered down and ineffective. But a focused person is able to do a lot within that. And for me, I have a place to run, and so do you. Find that place and run in it with all your heart and all your strength, but run in it. Thank you, Jesus. Vision is light from heaven, something that God has communicated and wants us to see. It's not a copy of a book. It's not what a conference said. It's not even somebody came in and prophesied. Can I just say, nothing, and I say nothing, is going to change the original vision of this church. Nothing and nobody. Because what God has spoken is actually the same as what he is speaking. And what Jesus said to the 12 disciples is the same as what he is saying to us today. So it's the same word. Now, I know that got a bit serious and a bit passionate, but that's okay, isn't it? Are you with me? Are we building the kingdom? Together, we are in what God wants us to be in. Now, what God has said to us in this next season, and beginning really today, I mean, it kind of started last week, but it's for the church, is that he is wanting us to relaunch the vision of Kingdom Faith Southwest. Relaunch. There we are. That's a happy picture. Full of life. Light you up on the inside. So you're a bit like a firework that's going off everywhere about the vision for the church. To relaunch the vision of Kingdom Faith Southwest. 8 years ago, we came down on a word from God to plant the church. And God gave us, after 3 months seeking him in prayer, the vision for Kingdom Faith Southwest. To relaunch does not mean to rewrite. But today we're going to put some color on it. Okay, so we're not rewriting it. It will stay the same. But we're going to add some accents and some understanding so that you can actually get the picture. You might have joined the church and never heard the vision of this church. You may have been part of something that you were thinking was one picture, and God is saying, today I'm going to lift up the picture that I have for you as my people in this place. So we're going to relaunch the vision. Can you turn to Ezekiel? We're very excited about this. Very excited about what God has asked us to do, because we know that this is going to produce so much. In Ezekiel 37, we read from verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were dry, very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O sovereign Lord, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise. I love this. Can you imagine all these bones? Rattling. I mean, a vast amount of bones would make quite a lot of noise. And what I love about this is that this is showing a picture that with God, nothing is impossible. That he can rattle us together quite easily and form his body in which he will live. This is a picture of the body of Christ. Dead. Before Jesus, we were dead in sins. His word has come, and his spirit has entered us. And we are now his army, his body. They said to me, prophesy. Sorry, I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin and covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered. I love that. The Holy Spirit. Breath entered them. You see, God has entered you. And God is in us. And he hasn't just formed a soldier, an individual. He's formed an army. Breath entered them, they came to life and stood on their feet, and exceedingly, where's my frame? A few people missing, and not that many today. Little ineffective army. It's only me, Lord. An exceedingly great army. That is what we had at the beginning when there were two of us. And then there were eight. Then there were 30. Then there were 40. And we've grown and grown, and God has done amazing things. A lot of the marriages in this church are a result of this church. God creating this church. People who weren't even saved have got born again. Come into destiny. Because the body of Christ is where you will find your destiny. You will find your destiny in the body of Christ. We've seen training. We've seen miracles. We've seen new things, new events, missions. We've seen God do so many great and wonderful things. But God originally gave us this vision and this faith vision goal of his to be an exceedingly great army. And this is the vision written down that will be unchanging. A people, not just a person, who believe and live in the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ through the enabling power of his word and spirit, being trained and equipped for service to go and make disciples of all peoples. Would you say that fits with Jesus' original vision of his word? What does it have? The body of Christ being built up and trained. It has faith coming through his word and the power of the Spirit. And it also has the Great Commission, which is to go, not to stay, but to go and make disciples of all peoples. An exceedingly great army. Now, when Ezekiel started to speak these words, there was only death. There was no life. It was no form, no order. And absolutely, definitely no army. And when we began to speak, can you imagine how, to the natural person, to declare an exceedingly great army looked ridiculous? But you see, the things of faith can seem ridiculous to the natural person. But to those who believe, it's exciting. And it's something that we are reaching out for and praying for and believing God for. He is going to fulfill this vision. But he requires his people to see it and run with it. A vision isn't just God given, it actually is God received. It's received by his people. And God needs people to fulfill the vision. That's why Jesus, when he came to the disciples, said, go into all the world. Because I'm not here. I've put my spirit in you. You go. And so basically the body of Christ become like Jesus, fulfilling the will of God in the world. And so we become what Jesus has said and do the things that Jesus has called us to do. This vision has been word created. And this vision is spirit empowered. This vision is anointed. We have seen God bring together a people And God, do so much to equip and raise up a people of faith, a people of victory, a people who believe the word, believe the power of the name of Jesus, and actually have a goal to reach and meet needs in the community. Every faith project that is running, let me tell you, it's part of this. It's part of this raising up an exceedingly great army. Because everything we do must be within that frame. You understand that? We, if other churches are doing other things, that's down to their vision. But we will do that. That is what we are here for and what we have been given by God to do. It's not up for grabs. It's not up for change. This is it. And the thing is, it's very exciting to be a part of a people that has clear vision. How have you ever been to a church and thought, well, do you know, I don't really know what they're doing. But this is clearly defined and easy to receive. Now, this is, I'm going to finish with this, but I'm just going to make a comment about that vision because this is what I had this morning. A God-honoring, body-equipping, kingdom-advancing, disciple-making vision. Would you agree with that? God-honoring, body-equipping, kingdom-advancing, disciple-making vision. That glorifies God. And that is where we're going, church. And that's where I'm going. I cannot but fulfill this vision. And I know you're with me. I know we are in it together. Because we cannot not do what God has asked us to do. Thank you, Jesus. So we are going to today look at a fresh view. I'm not changing that. We're not going to change this. But Pastor Andrew and I have been through just a fresh time of trying to paint some colors. And this is what we're going to be preaching over the next few months. So we're going to be preaching the vision, but in this way. Can I have the next slide up? Who we are and what we will be. Remember, it always speaks of the future, not just current, but future. So, there's the frame. And we see the vision of people who believe and live in the victory of the cross around the edges. So everything must come in that frame. I know it's a bit small at the back, but now this is the fresh things that the Holy Spirit's put on our hearts to bring in the next 3 months. Lovers of God and lovers of people. Working together, winning people to Christ, fulfilling destiny, demonstrating excellence, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, compassionate, positive, generous, welcoming, created by the Word, empowered by the Spirit, an exceedingly great army. Jesus. Isn't that a great vision? God is saying to us, every one of us today, will you give yourself for that? Not for what some person has made up, but his vision for his church. Will you find your place and stay where God has put you? And give your energy, your effort, your finances, your prayer, your devotion, your serving, your commitment to building the body of Jesus Christ and advancing the kingdom of heaven. Here I am. Send me, Lord. Basically, yes, Lord, is my answer. If there is resistance in you, then maybe you need to pray that the Holy Spirit will work it in you. Because this is his vision, and he does not want resistance to his vision. He wants open-hearted people who say, yes, Lord, I will run with that vision all the days of my life. Now, God, if he chooses to move you from this place, will do it with the body being aware and in right relationship. But while you're here, this is it. And while I'm here, and I intend to be, I'm trusting, you know, I'll be 80. Hello? And you'll be going, time she went to glory. But that is, I don't have another vision. That's how committed I am to him and to you. I am fully, and we are as a leadership, fully committed to seeing you fulfill your destiny within his vision of the local church. We are going to take possession of a fantastic building. We are going to see multitudes saved. We're going to see healing released to this generation. We're going to see children come into their destiny. Youth bands of worship. We're going to see, I believe, recordings, music coming from this local church, that the sound will go out beyond this nation into the nations. I believe, as we've already sent missionaries out into the world, so we will continue to raise up and send out missionaries into other nations. I believe we will be able to pay for the poor and the needy. We'll be able to do things that would be impossible for our imagination. But because the church are rising up together in a vision, we will see the impossible become possible. We will see an army raised up to see the kingdom of heaven come on earth as it is in heaven. That is our goal. And there's nothing greater to live for, you know? A family. God has ordained family life naturally. But family life, when you're saved, is within the context of the church. He doesn't have two visions, the church and the family. Hello? Has just the one vision. And the thing is, when you have your family or, you know, your marriage or whatever your world is, you're part of the big picture. You're part of the big picture. I hope you're happy about that. Because actually, life will get very boring if it's just you and your family. And actually, there'll be no anointing in your life. No release of the Spirit, because actually, yeah, this is the place where the lonely can find relationship. This is a place where people find a sense of belonging and home. This is the family. You know, we've already seen people open up homes to have some of you guys live with them. Let's clap the Lord for the grace. I mean, what more can we do in the future? How much more can we provide? So that this exceedingly great army and the expression of Jesus in the world can be fulfilled today. Lord, let it be to us according to your word. Amen. Let's stand together. I'd like you to stand before the Lord and pray that vision. Exceedingly great army. Just take the frame and let's just pray. You pray, say, Lord, I want to respond to your word to me today and to join with the vision that you have given us. So let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. You just pray out of your heart. Respond.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186. Or overseas visitors, 0044-1823-664-186. Or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.